Welcome to the India FinTech Diaries, the only podcast focused exclusively on the Indian FinTech market. I'm Elroy.
And I'm Hemant. In each episode, we dive into the latest trends, ideas, innovations, business models, and personalities that are shaping India's FinTech landscape.
We also invite amazing guests who are innovators and industry players that are driving the change that is helping make financial services more modern, innovative, and inclusive in India. Come join us as we explore the changing landscape of FinTech in India.
Welcome to India FinTech Diaries, the show for all things FinTech. I'm your host, Hemant.
And I'm your host, Elroy. In our last episode, we started our exploration of the world of artificial intelligence. And this week, we intend to delve a little bit deeper into the use cases for financial services. And more importantly, what's needed to actually implement these use cases. Joining us to shed more light on this topic is Anand Gupta, Head Financial Services, Google Cloud India. Welcome to India FinTech Diaries, Anand.
Hi, Elroy. Hi, Hemant. Thank you. Thank you for the warm welcome.
So, Anand, both Elroy and me have known you for quite a number of years. But however, for the sake of our audience, it would be great if you could give you a quick introduction of your background and what you do at Google.
Absolutely. So, I'm Anand Gupta. I've been working with financial services industry for over 20 years now. The way I like to describe myself is I'm a passionate observer of changes that happen in the operating environment for financial services firms and enjoy helping them transform to adapt and thrive in these changes, right? But more from a professional standpoint, spent 12 plus years as a consultant looking at strategic and operational imperatives for financial services firms and running transformation programs. And towards the latter part of my consulting career, I was convinced that the impact of technology, that technology would continue to have in this journey. About 2.5 years back, I shifted to Google to lead their financial services practice for Google Cloud in India.
So, Anand, recently Google Gemini launched and introduced a lot of us to the concept of multimodal generative AI, right? I'd love if you could spend maybe 5 minutes quickly explaining what this is and why this is important to us.
Sure. I think, first of all, let me start with, what is AI, right? And, I think it's important to kind of look at the multimodal is just one aspect that has been introduced and obviously will drive a lot of changes and much more many use cases across. In your previous, podcast as well, Elroy, you guys have covered on what is AI. But just a snapshot of how I would like to describe it. There have been, multiple attempts and or constant developments in the field of ML and AI for the last couple of decades now, actually, right? 2015, correct. We launched DeepMind. First time AlphaGo defeated the Go champion. 2016, started off, and one of the milestones for 2016 year was actually, when DeepMind helped detect an eye disease. 2018, we, had the groundbreaking BERT model introduced. We, made the transformer paper in public in 2019. And then since then, we have seen the advancements both from multiple other players like OpenAI and the ChatGPT series, us, Google, etc., kind of making these models, right? So fundamentally, large language models essentially work on a premise, worked on a premise of having text input. And giving a text output, right? Correct. Or a single input and trying to inference that and giving a single output, right? Yeah. Multimodal models essentially give you the ability of taking multiple inputs, multiple mixed inputs together and giving you a output across, right? So it is not only, you can actually kind of have an image and some text and some voice, etc., kind of, fed into a model. And will infer across all three and try and generate an output for you, right? So that has interesting use cases because now suddenly what you have is you don't have to, it becomes much more natural in the manner in which you interact on a day-to-day basis as well, right? So that's right. Why multimodal models are, are such a hype today and is the talk of the town right now. I think we're seeing multiple use cases, which we can delve into as we go along.
Anant, in the next 5 years, AI in general and generative AI in particular could fundamentally change financial services. McKinsey, in a recent report, indicated that just for financial services globally, AI represented an annual potential of $200 billion to $340 billion, which is equivalent to about 9 to 15% of the operating profits. Talk to us a little about how you're seeing this shape up and what it means for Indian financial services in particular.
So, yeah, I think McKinsey has some, estimates. Our own estimates are much more higher than that. I think, time will tell in terms of what's the impact that
Correct.
It is and Correct. What will include in that impact. But I think, generative AI and generative AI in general has been pretty much, driving most transformation talks over the last one year since, the generative AI models have become popular. The thing about financial services is that it is a highly regulated industry. Right.
Correct.
And, the concept of data residency, security, compliance is very, very important for financial services and sovereign workloads or sovereign, companies as such. Right. So which is where they've been very, very experimentative, but at the same time, have been very, very experimentative in terms of applying these models in 4 or 5 areas. But at the same time, as we're speaking, I think, there are many, many more areas that are coming across, right? So in my mind, four primary areas that financial services are rapidly adopting generative AI applications.
Correct.
One is in terms of automating customer service tasks, like answering questions, resolving complaints, providing personalized recommendations, etc. Second broad area is all financial services companies sit on vast volumes of data, right? Data from their core systems, data, third-party data. They subscribe to a lot of external data. Behavioral data from which they collect from the internet, etc. Right, and many a times they don't integrate that data into their operations seamlessly. Right, so to give you an example, a customer service data will definitely be used to enhance the customer service experience, but it will not potentially kind of lead to a behavioral indicator for the customer in terms of tonality, preferences, etc. Right,
correct,
which might be used for driving more specified product development for the customer instead of a segmental approach, right?
Correct.
So that's the second area, which is, generating insights and reports from large data sets. The third area is in terms of actually what we, what I spoke in the previous point and taking on from there in terms of new product development and services, right? And especially in terms of personalizing the financial, financial products and services. For example, financial plans, investment portfolios, personalizations, etc. And the last area that we kind of look at right now, gaining a lot of traction, is actually in terms of fraud prevention and detection.
Correct.
Right. So these four areas, I think, are well experimented, if I may say so, both globally as well as in India. Most of the LLMs, because of data residency and issues, have potentially most of the LLMs currently are based out of the US. So as more and more LLMs are coming into India, we'll see a lot more adoption by the Indian financial services, side as well.
So Anand, while we are seeing banks in India start adopting AI in some functions, it will be great to get your inputs on some of the actual use cases that you're seeing getting traction both in India and globally with financial services.
No, that's a great question. I think we outlined four areas, right, around customer service, generating reports and insights, new product development and fraud. And let me try and take one or two examples across these four areas that we are seeing already go live, both globally and in India. So looking at the first one, I think the most experimented area from these four also is the customer service and, to improve customer service and accuracy of responses from for organizations. So Capital One that comes to mind, I think, uses a generative AI portfolio to personalize the customer service experiences. They're using and generating tailored responses to customer queries already using generative AI. Same thing is being done by, likes of JP Morgan, Wells Fargo, and closer home to India, in India as well, by HDFC Bank, ICICI Bank, Access, Kotak Mahindra, Federal. Many of these are actually already public case studies with various players, right? And the second area of reports, insights, and data sets, I think banks are using, banks and financial services industry in general is kind of using them in few use cases within that broad area, right? So one is for identifying trends in customer behavior. For example, JP Morgan again is kind of using generative AI to, you know, identify the trends in their customer behavior. And then they use that information to develop targeted marketing campaigns and on the one hand, and second is also to improve their customer service experience, right? Bank of America, for example, uses generative AI for generate reports that help predict customer churn, right? So it's more retention and growth use case that they use it for, right? Goldman Sachs is using this to identify, you know, help new market opportunities, right? So primarily for driving more and more business growth, right? In terms of sub-segmenting product, gaps in the industry and kind of trying to figure out if they can come out with more customized offerings for their customers, right? If I look at the third area, which is developing new products and services, I think a large application of that is happening in terms of personalizing the financial plans and investment portfolios, which is being done by Bank of America. They used GenAI to personalize financial plans for its customers. They use AI to understand the customer's individual financial goals and needs, and then generate the financial plan that is tailored to those specific needs, right? And the last area essentially is, that we spoke about was actually around detecting and preventing fraud. So here again, I think two banks that come to mind globally, and then, you know, obviously there is work being done by HDFC and others in the country as well. So JP Morgan Chase is one of the financial services company that uses GenAI for fraud detection. They use AI to create the synthetic data that is used to train fraud detection models. And this helps them to improve the accuracy of the models and reduce the number of false positives, right? That's a major input in terms of how much effort are you spending and actually trying to detect frauds, because, you know, rule-based fraud detection systems kind of throw out a lot of false positives, and a large teams can then work on those false positives to eliminate the false positive and actually look at the fraud cases, right? They're also using them actually in a very interesting way to actually identify new fraud patterns, right, that are not currently being detected by the traditional fraud detection methods. Exactly same thing is also being done by Santander in Spain, right? It's to identify new fraud patterns that are not being detected.
Interesting. Anand, now let's pivot a little to Google Cloud in India. Talk to us a little about the Google's AI vision in general and what Google Cloud is looking to do in the space in particular.
Google's vision in general, you know, has remained the same since the last 20 years, right? Which is in terms of simplifying and access to data and generating meaningful insights from data for people in general, right? And that pretty much is defining what we are trying to do with AI as well, right?
Yeah.
If you look at Google Cloud, Google Cloud is providing the entire infrastructure for enabling that transition for enterprises. We tend to see the world in two large segments, right? Which is the B2C or direct to consumer, you know, offerings that Google offers, as well as the enterprises offerings that Google offers, right? And both these segments have very different needs, right?
Right.
From an overall consumer side perspective, right? You know, their needs will be very different, right? So you and I will probably kind of log into the internet and say, you know, can I plan a 3-day trip to Italy? Or, can I create a Valentine poem for my girlfriend? Or can I learn how to make pancakes and surprise my spouse? Or can I generate a picture of panda playing a Yahtzee for my school projects or some school projects, right? Et cetera. But on the other hand, the needs from an enterprise perspective are very different. Their first concerns or first considerations are, how do we control our data, right? To ensure that there is privacy around their own data. How do we deal with fraud and security? How will we control our costs, right?
Yeah.
How can we be accurate and explainable in our responses to my consumers and to the regulators, right? Because, it becomes a bedrock of whatever the enterprises do, because one wrong statement or one wrong data point can actually kind of lead to a lot of, you know, issues, especially for financial services, right? Which we deal with people's money, investments, etc. And lastly is that how do we integrate our existing data and applications, right? Because many of these financial services clients, especially and enterprise clients all across, are on much, the core applications are still, a lot of a legacy stack, right?
Right.
So we have this new fancy, modern technology in generative AI. How does that co-work or co-relate to my existing stack? And how do I kind of start to make it work, right? So Google Cloud essentially, you know, also, you know, focused a lot of answering these questions in terms of making sure that there is security, privacy, and compliance across all layers, right? As enterprise start to experiment with generative AI. Second, the risk of fraud and, you know, risk of fraud is minimalized, and how do we kind of continuously monitor and control that risk as well. Making sure that, you know, while experiment, you know, a large part of experimentation on generative AI applications will continue to happen in the first formative years of the technology, during that time, how do we control costs, right? So how do we kind of make it sachet size? How do we make sure that experimentation is rapid? How do we make sure that infrastructure availability is rapid? You know, the clients are not kind of, you know, paying through their noses for doing these experimentations, etc. And a lot of focus around making it, you know, very accurate and explainable to both internally to enterprises as well as to their customers, right? So there's a lot of time that goes in terms of training for the enterprise context as well.
Right.
So if I look at Google Cloud's portfolio, we potentially, you know, have obviously at the base infrastructure layer, a lot of GPUs, TPUs, and Google, you know, generative AI infrastructure. We have a set of foundation models around text, chat, code, video, image, music, and audio that potentially form the bedrock of, you know, understanding these inputs. We spoke about modal and multimodal, right? So multiple of these modes potentially can also be used from our LLMs. On top of that, obviously, you know, obviously we have the LLMs like Gemini. We have a variant that for different types of use cases, Gemma for a completely private cloud deployment, etc., which are already made available, you know, in for the market. We have Vertex AI, which is, you know, a model garden, you know, kind of concept, which allows you access to not only our LLMs, but a wide variety of public LLMs like Llama, like Hugging Face, etc., right? And more models will continue to kind of get integrated into this model garden, because what our philosophy always has been in terms of having an open infrastructure or open open stack development and deployments. So clients will choose the best of breed for the different use cases, right? So how do we make it available seamlessly? And that's what Vertex AI enables. On top of that, we have, you know, app builders for conversational AI, enterprise search, foundation models, etc. And then that gets rendered onto consumers.
Anant, that's some very interesting insights into the entire stack that Google Cloud provides. It'll be also great to get some practical insights into implementation, particularly, right? Let's say, for example, I was a bank and I wanted to deploy an conversational chatbot kind of AI that takes in, say, for the sake of our argument, let's say it takes in voice input, right? Mm-hmm. How would a bank potentially go about building this on the top of the Google Cloud stack?
Okay. So first of all, approach, right? So you can't take a consultant away from a consultant. So I think we always kind of, you know, say that, you know, start slow. We just start with a pilot project. Don't try to implement generative AI across the entire organization at once. So in the pilot approach, I think the first challenge that the banks tend to kind of, you know, face is getting the right data in, right?
Right.
You make sure that you have access to high quality data to train the generative AI model. So if it is chatbot kind of an environment with voice inputs, you have enough, you know, voice and or text inputs available for your in your environment to actually train the model in terms of your specific needs of your customers, right? So you might be only a retail bank offering primarily secured and unsecured lending and CASA products, and not going into the complex products as well. Your queries will be very different from, you know, some of the other banks which have a full suite of products, right? You might be catering to a particular strata of the society or a particular kind of segment of the society. You might be very, very focused on, let's say, MFI customers or, you know, women lenders or Gen Z customer segments, etc. And that's a strategy that each and every firm will follow. And depending on what customers you're kind of dealing with, your asks, your tonality, your questions will also differ, right?
Yeah.
Getting the right kind of training data is extremely important, right? And then third is obviously the, you know, how do you kind of get the right partner, not only from an OEM perspective, but also from, you know, skills perspective, either internal or with, you know, external partners to implement some of these, right? Coming on to how do we kind of look at enabling them on a Google Cloud stack? And that's where I think you kind of try to make it very, very easy, right? So first thing,
right,
I was mentioning from an enterprise usage perspective, we, since the needs of consumers and enterprises are extremely different, right? To enable enterprises to kind of get a very, very secure environment in their tenancy to experiment on these, Google Cloud has very, very early, you know, when we launched it before that, we kind of, you know, looked at what is the kind of enterprise architecture that we should put in place, right? So right, while there are public large language models, you know, frozen models that Google offers, like Gemini, etc., no enterprise would be okay to kind of have their data train the large models, right? So how do we kind of segregate? Right. So we came up with an architecture where the generative AI models for the enterprise and only the training data and anonymized training data goes outside to kind of look at, uses the APIs from the LLM to decipher the inputs and generate the outputs. But again, the entire LLM is actually being trained in your tenancy, right? So it's pretty much right, a LLM for a particular enterprise being done in your tenancy, right? So your data, your content, your inference, your security in your tenancy, and then that is tightly integrated with the Vertex AI platform and the generative AI app builder platform, etc., right?
Right.
So to enable it, right, it's a very simple process. You actually kind of, you know, just subscribe to Vertex AI. It sets up the entire tenancy. There is, these are for existing customers who already have their Google Cloud landing zones, etc., already set up. And then your on-prem, you can build out the connectors to the, it automatically enables the connectors to the LLMs, which are supported through Vertex AI, both Google's and third parties.
And Anand, since you have been working with financial services for a very, very long time, and even also as part of Google Cloud, so you would have seen a lot of FS companies now going through this journey of implementing their first pilot or use case of artificial intelligence. So if an organization is starting on this journey, in your view, what should be the key considerations that they should have to ensure that they run the pilot in the right way and achieve the objective that they want to achieve with that use case?
Hemant, good question, right? Because again, as organizations start to think about it, you know, we have seen organizations both which are very, very serious about using this technology in the right manner and therefore very cautious around how they introduce it inside the systems or the environment. But at the same time, there are also organizations who potentially just want to kind of go ahead and experiment and see and create eyeballs in the market as well, that we have done the first pilot, etc., right? So
very true.
Yeah. We obviously, we propagate the first approach, which is, you know, have a very, very considered approach. And a lot of time actually is spent by us with our clients to actually really look at the use case that they want to kind of experiment on. And we actually, you know, spend a lot of time in terms of the architecture for that use case itself and whether the use case actually needs a generative application or generative AI application, or can that actually be many of these cases we have surprisingly are mostly solvable by ML or AI, simple ML and AI rather than generative AI, right? So sometimes while generative AI has been really great in terms of solving some of the use cases, what I don't think is spoken enough is how the adoption of AI in general has increased just because, generative AI, since generative AI has come in, right? So first is qualify what you want to do, right? Which is a lot of qualification. Second is there is contextualized information and contextualized training that you'll need to do for the model, because many organizations make a mistake of, you know, you already have the world's data with you, speaking of Google or, you know, even for some of our competitors, I'm expecting that you've already trained the model and therefore I should kind of just launch it for my, let's say, internet search, right? Or website search capability chatbot for my customers, right? But there is contextualization both from a domain as well as company standpoint. Your products are very different from other products. Your terms and conditions of the products are very different. So let's say you launch a product for an insurance company around a policy information being provided, and you want to provide a comparison across your products on the website for your customers. How does policy A compare to policy B compare to policy C in a life insurance space, for example? It's very important that the terminologies that you use in your policy documents are trained. The model is trained on those, right? So training and data availability is extremely important. So think about training and invest time in training, right, as organizations. So One is obviously choose the right use cases, spend time in terms of understanding. Second is, you know, don't underestimate the time required to train, because you launch something and it kind of backfires. It's not the right approach, right? And third is think about skill sets, right? Because launching something is one thing, but at the same time, these are models that are also self-learning, you know, in your tenancy, etc. So you require a constant update, maintenance, and upgradations, because it's a fast-evolving space. So look at skill sets building inside your organizations for critical activities, right? So I think these three are the areas that typically we see people faltering on.
Understood. And I think, Anand, we were also speaking before about what the lens should be when you look at this use case. And you said that when you start with your first use case on artificial intelligence in your organization, then ROI might not be the right lens to look at it to start with, because it's an innovation use case. Go through it first, understand it first, and see how it works. And then maybe for the scale up, you might look at it from an ROI lens, but for the experimentation, look at it, what value it generates for you and for the customers, and then go from there, right?
Yeah. No, absolutely. Because I think, I'm just taking a step back again, right?
Mm-hmm.
Technology, generative AI specifically, if you look at, you know, the advent of generative AI as well, right? From, you know, single kind of inputs to multimodal inputs, etc. What we're trying to do, or what is happening, or what is kind of propagating, is how do you enable technology to, one, understand, comprehend, as well as interact with humans in a much more seamless manner.
Correct. Right?
Obviously, it has a productivity impact for the organization, but also it also kind of has a skill impact. So if you're looking at, for example, looking at generative AI to be used in the area of customer service, which many people are looking at, what is your expectation? Are you looking at personalization of recommendations for my mass banking unit, vis-a-vis, you know, replacing, you know, a large part of my inbound contact center with AI-enabled virtual agents, right? Mm. The two use cases and two ROIs are very different.
Yeah. And the quality or the depth of the model is also very different of how advanced Absolutely. Is the model that will be required. Very true.
That's some really great advice, Anand. I would love to get some parting thoughts from you as well on how you see AI evolving in India, especially given some of the recent policy pushes that the government has done towards AI adoption in India.
My personal belief, I think we'll have a great uptake of generative AI and AI in general, not only in financial services, but across, right? And it'll be significant over the next 2-3 years. I think if you look at the kind of infrastructure investments, policy investments,
right.
That are being made by the government. And government has also been very, very supportive of usage, propagation and usage of AI, you know, across sectors, right? Some of the policy announcements by government, I think, is also, and government, but at the same time, government also has a lot of responsibility in terms of making sure that the sovereign data, the sovereign interests are taken care of, right? And which is where right. They're also advising caution, you know, while experimentation, right? So the policy announcements are mostly in that direction. So I personally believe that there'll be a great 3-5 years in front of us, especially from a rapid adoption, significant adoption in the country.
Absolutely, Anand. All the conversations that even I have had, Elroy has had with different financial services companies, especially, and I've realized because now is the budget period coming pretty soon, right? So the thinking has already started. I've seen most of them are putting across a certain budget in their technology and innovation piece to ensure that there is something that they start experimenting with and doing in this side. So completely aligned with you that it is going to be very, very exciting next few years as far as AI is concerned.
Correct. And as organizations and government obviously kind of look at the three large challenges, you know, to be solved for AI,
yeah.
Which is around data quality and availability, regulatory compliance and ethical concerns. They are also deeply aware of the potential benefits that AI has across sectors, right? And which is where, you know, the kind of investments we're doing around, you know, semiconductor, chip manufacturing, right from, you know, at the base layer to innovation and, you know, funding startups for AI, coming out with, you know, programs that government is doing for AI startups, integrating and providing opportunities for, you know, looking at government services and usage of AI in government services and various government departments as well. We ourselves are kind of involved across multiple departments with the government and ministries. to propagate AI usage, right? Right from the Bharat GPT initiative of the government to the Bhashini, you know, initiative that the government has taken, etc. We're kind of deeply involved across many of these.
Excellent. Thanks a ton, Anand, for joining us today. In case anyone wanted to get in touch with you and know more about what Google Cloud is doing in this space, what's the best way to do that?
The best way to do that is to just write to me at ganant@google.com and I look forward to the interactions.
So, Anand, I'll include those details in our show note. Thanks again, Anand, for joining us today.
Thank you, Hemant. Thanks, Elroy. Pleasure.
That's it from India FinTech Diaries for this week. Do log on to our website, indiafintechdiaries.com, for show notes and other exclusive content. Until next time, stay safe.